Thank you. Rav Isai, after a short break, we're back now, Baruch Hashem, to learn the special Torah of Marena Rav Shimshon Chaim and Rav Nachman Michal Nachmani, Zeh Shimshon, and the Torah that we learn should make his neshama go higher and higher, and he should go into great places in Gan Eden for the special Torah that he shared with us. It's also being learned tonight by an anonymous donor, Reitz B'Elim Shmoy, Itzchus V'Zeh Shal Kayoma, Mitzvah Hashem, that this should be blessed with the Zeh Shal Kayoma, Tekev Umiyat. Right. Gemara Mitzia, Daf Samach Aleph from a base, brings the following. Rava says, why do we have to write Yetzias Mitzrayim in three different things? We write Yetzias Mitzrayim by ribis. We write Yetzias Mitzrayim by mishkolos, by weights. And we write Yetzias Mitzrayim by tzitzis. Those are the three things where we write Ani Hashem Lekechem Asher Yetzias Mitzrayim Lekechem Lekechem, as we know by tzitzis. But it also says by ribis, it tells us Ani Hashem Lekechem Asher Yetzias Mitzrayim. It says, Akosh Baruch Hu Gazal Mitzrayim. And over there we see, so the Gemara tells us what's the importance of telling us about Yetzias Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I was the one that made a differentiation between the drop of a Bechor and the drop of an Enosh HaBechor, of the Zera of a Bechor and the Zera of not a Bechor in Mitzrayim. Anihu, I am also the one, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, also the Yipar is going to give payment for a few different things. Number one, somebody who claims the money belongs to a guy and he sells it and he lends it to Yid Beribis. So halacha is as follows. Yiddish money is not allowed to be lent Beribis. Goyish money, you are allowed to lend Beribis. A guy is allowed to lend to Yid Beribis, no problem. So what happens? Somebody comes to you and he says, can I borrow £1,000? I say, look, how long do you want it for? A year? I say, I want 10%. 10%? You're Yid, you can't take Beribis. I say, that's not my money. Belongs to this Goy Shemani. It's Goy Shemani. He's giving me this money to find people to lend money to. You want to borrow money, so you know you're not borrowing from me, you're borrowing from Christopher. So he can charge you 10%. All right, fine, Christopher's Christopher. I'm going to borrow from Christopher. So, Seder. So you pay back the £1,100 at the end of the year, and Lamaisa, Lahoeva Lenivra. Never happened. Then if it was a guy called Christopher, it was always your money, etc., etc. So the Rebbe Shalom, well, you think I don't know? You think I can't see? If I can tell the difference between who was a Bechor in Mitzrayim and who wasn't a Bechor in Mitzrayim, I know whose £1,000 you're lending out also. If Taka, the guy lent you £1,000, he gave you money and he said, I'd like you to lend this money out on interest, you're allowed to do that. But Azoi, you can't do that. So says, I know the difference between the Tipa Bechor and Tipa Sheinah Bechor, I'll know also who is Toyla Moisa Benochi. Number two, Mishatoyma Mishkaloisa Bemelach. Somebody who does a shtick that suddenly the weights that they use aren't accurate, and so they can rip people off. So, you know, we all know, if you buy things by weight, every extra gram that it costs you money.
How does it work? If you put salt on, then it makes it lighter, huh?
Yeah, no, if you put salt on, it really makes it heavier. Really, it should do it, right? So, pardon? No, usually if you put in salt, it should make it heavier. But salt, I think the salt is going to degrade. It's going to rub away. And so if you have let's say you had a kilo weight, right? And you put it in the salt, so the salt is going to erode the kilo weight, and now the kilo weight is now 980 grams instead of a kilo. And every time I sell you something, I charge you for a kilo, but I only gave you 980 grams worth of mechomer, right? Because we say, look, here's 1 kilo, right? So here's 1 kilo, you put the meat on the other side, I put down a kilo, and he says, oh, very good, even, now great, yes, there's 1 kilo of meat. How much did you get? 980 grams, because I've been eroding my weight slowly by using the salt. So that's the second thing. So you can't tell the erosion of weight on a scale, especially in the olden days, where it wasn't an exact science. Today you have a scale that tells you mamish to the gram, and then you have much, much more, you know, small, those people that deal in diamonds or that deal in gold, they have scales that are mamish, very, very, very accurate. Because 1 gram of gold today is what, 50 pounds or something like that. It's a lot of money. So every gram, you know, if it's off by a gram here, off by a gram there, so you'll say, you know, if I'm making a cake and it's off by a gram on the, you know, if your Rebbetzin's making a cake for Shari Torah and was off by 2 grams on the flour, nothing's going to happen, right? But if I'm selling you a gold bracelet and you got 2 grams extra, I got 2 grams too little, we're 100 pounds off. Or more, right? So there it makes a massive difference. Yeah, and with diamonds, there's even more of a difference. And then, you know, you mamish get, so we, Bar Hashem, we live in an age today of technology where that's not as common anymore. But in the olden days, it was something that you could make, you had separate weights, and each weight, and then what you take was, as the weights would then, if you erode the weight just slightly, you make money on it. Because it says a kilo on it, but it's not really a full kilo. It's a kilo minus 10 or 20 grams. So on the 10 or 20 grams, every single day, as I'm doing things, by the end of the day, I will have made 1 or 2 or 3 kilos extra. So that's my money. That's my revach. Zok Lebon Shem, I know what you're doing. Don't think I can't catch you. Don't think I don't. If I know the difference between the tip of this one and the tip of that one, I know also whether yours is a kilo exactly or 980 grams. I can tell the difference. Lastly, also, there were people that used to get tchelis, and then there were other people that said, listen, tchelis is very expensive. I remember a friend of ours, a friend of the family who was quite well off, one time came back from Eretz Yisrael and he brought me tchelis strings. I was like, I don't know, I was 18 or 17 at the time, and he bought me tchelis strings. Now, I wasn't going to wear tchelis strings anyway, but he bought them for me. And a friend of mine borrowed them for Purim. He thought it would be funny, and he dressed up as Mizrachnik for Purim, and he put out the tchelis strings. Later on, I realized, and this goes back to 1996 or 97, the guy had spent $80 on a set of tchelis strings. That's then. Today, that's probably double the amount. It's probably $150. So well over 100 pounds for one set of strings of tchelis. Shouldn't have played with them. You know, the guy spent so much money on them. Why did I play with it? Yeah, but no, because I gave it to this guy to wear it for Purim. Yeah, I never used them. It's a shame. I should have given back. If I had known how expensive they were, I would have given it back to the fellow and said, thank you very much. I appreciate so much that you spent so much money on me. I'm not going to be wearing them anyway. I feel bad taking a present from you for 100 pounds and then not doing anything with it. I thought it was 10, 15 pounds to let the guy feel good. And now if I had known, I'm Amish Charot, I would have given it back to him. Yeah, but Lemaisa, so you have this guy over here that says, I'm going to spend money on tchelis. You know how expensive it is to buy tchelis? There's another color called kala ilan, which looks exactly like tchelis, but it's not. It's not the real deal. So I'll use a fake, and I'll put it in, and people are going to look at me and say, oh, look, Eisenberg's wearing tchelis. Choshev. No, not choshev. He's wearing kala ilan. He's not wearing a, you know, yistama joker. So says the pasuk, I know what you're doing. Don't think I don't know. The Rosh Hashanah said, what, you think I'm stupid? You think I can't figure out? Yena and Beis Medrash can't see because he doesn't know the difference. The Rebbeinu Shailam, I know the difference between a tipa of a Bechor and a tipa of not a Bechor. I know what you're putting on your tzitzis also. That's what the Rebbeinu Shailam, that's the Gemara in Daf Samach Aleph in Bava Metzia. The Rebbeinu Shailam says, by these three things, don't think you can get away with a shmuchel, it's not going to work. Frag the Gemara, a shmuchel is like making, you know, trying to fool somebody. Frag the Zer Shimshin, I understand what he's saying, but there seems to be something about these three mitzvahs that have some kind of connection to Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Right? So the Rebbeinu Shem is saying, like, I'm the one that took you out of Mitzrayim, so I'm the one that's like, I need to tell you that. Why do I need to tell you that? Yeah, you have to be honest. You know what? You have to be honest. Don't rip people off, because I know. Yeah. And if I hadn't told you have to be honest, because it's connected to Yitzhak Mitzrayim, because the Rebbeinu Shalom knows that what happened between this tipa and that tipa, you don't have to be honest. It's only because I can tell you, listen, I really know what I'm talking about because I know the difference between this zera and that zera. So I'll know the difference between this money and that money. What's the connection over here? Why do we feel we had to sort of make it something more b'chush to explain to you that way? Ribis is called neshech. Neshech miloshen biting. Right? Like a nochosh. A snake bites. Right? Now, I know chas v'shalom nobody has had a snake bite, but a snake bite, when you get bitten by a snake, when a person gets bitten by a snake, it's not an immediate thing. It's not something that takes immediate effect. So different snakes, different poisons have different things. But even the snakes that have poison that start acting very, very fast, you still have a minute or two before it starts acting. 45 seconds, a minute, even that's the fastest acting poisons. It's not like, you know, if somebody gets stabbed or if they cut somebody's throat, it's shom ha'isor, very quickly. Yeah, I know by Shechita, for example, that they do a test. They want the vet is standing there by the Shechita, and the Shechit checks the animal, and then the vet does a test to see, you know, if you put your finger in the eye of the animal and nothing happens. You can tell how long does it take for the animal's eyes to glaze over, how long does it take for it to die. If it takes too long for the animal to die, they will shoot it. And that one becomes an avela, you can't use that animal. So there literally is a vet standing there next to the Shechita and checking what is going on over here. Yeah, a Nachosh, it's slower. It's a slow death. A painful death sometimes. So he says, that's the same thing with ribis. Why do people, for example, you get these crazy people that borrow money from these payday lenders, Wonga and all these other places that were lending money at ridiculous rates. Ridiculous rates. So much I remember once seeing the APR was 6,000. 6,000%. That meant if I borrowed money to buy about £100 today, I'd owe £6,000 at the end of the year. That's mashuga, right? Because the fact is, but if I'm desperate for £100 and I cannot find a single person to lend me £100, not even £100, and he says to me, look, if you borrow £100 today, you'll owe £120 next Monday. Nope, for £20. Problem is, comes Monday and I didn't get paid. By next week, Friday, it's not only £120, it's already £170. And if I don't get paid by that point, by the week after, it's Friday, it's already £250. And now suddenly the guy's like, what happened? It was only meant to be £120. Yeah, but ribis is misgalga like that. That's the koyach of compound interest. It can be used for the good, it can be used for the bad, right? In this instance, the compound interest is used for the bad. So the beginning, the first year of ribis, no big deal, right? But for example, you know, you look at your mortgage illustration, when you redo your deal, they send you a thing. You borrowed £100,000, by the end of your 25-year term, you will have paid back £225,000. Yeah? So you say, well, for sugar, I'm going to pay back 125% on top of... Yeah, but you know what? Because over 25 years, you paid 3% this year, you paid 3% next year, 3% the year after. So this year, the £100,000 cost more than £3,000. Not a big deal. But over 25 years, £3,000 is already going to be £75,000. Plus the compound, et cetera, et cetera. So it ends up being so much more. That's ribis. Just like the nochosh. The nochosh bites. You don't chop right away that the bite comes. The bite comes at the beginning, slowly. Suddenly, you have a guy down. Suddenly he died. Same thing with the ribis. Slowly. If a person borrows with ribis for a very, very short amount of time, people even borrow big monies. You buy bridging loans. Yeah? So you're paying 1% a month. People bridge money, they buy a house, they bridge over, and they're going to get a mortgage. So bridging is very dangerous. Because if you get your mortgage after a month or two, short. So for 2%, you got in, you got out, it costs you 2%, not so terrible. But if your mortgage doesn't come through and suddenly it's another percent a month and another percent a month and you're chasing your mortgage broker and you're chasing the bank and you're this and you're that, suddenly it's like you don't know where you're coming or you're going. Suddenly you owe 10% on the money that you borrowed and everything goes nemach, inert. That's neshech. So Zokta, why it's called neshech? Because it's noishech, it bites. That's the idea of the bite, like a nochosh, like a snake. And what's the first ois that Moshe Rabbeinu does for Pare as well, is the nochosh, right? The first thing he says, he takes a nochosh, he takes a stick on the floor, so on the floor turns into a nochosh, and he wants to say that the Mekubalim say Pare had the shirish of nochosh in it, whatever that means, and that's why Pare is called Hatanim Hagodol, the great snake, the great serpent. For whatever reason, Pare is called that. You see it in the Novi's called. You know, he says to Pare Hatanim Hagodol. That's what he calls him, the great serpent. Pare has some kind of connection to the serpent. What it is exactly, I don't know. There's a Kabbalah Dikinyonim. However, he says, the ribis is like a snake that bites, that takes. Pare is Migzeres Nohosh. And he says also, there's a Pasuk in Yirmiyah, that says Pare Chofra. And he says, they don't know what that word exactly means. The Mefarshim don't know what it is, but he says it's the Gematria is Nohosh. And he's got the Tumah of the Nohosh is in Pare. And therefore, he wanted to keep them with his tumah, with the tumah of the nochosh. Pare wanted to keep them behind, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu took them out of him. And therefore, we were goyzer not to lend money by ribis, because that is exactly the same thing over here. It's the nochosh, it's the bite, it's the slow acting, etc., etc. That's the ribis. Then he moves on to tzitzis. He says tzitzis is our choysim, that we are the avonim of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that is what makes us b'nei chorin from the Yetzer Hara. Because the Medrash says a very interesting thing. He says, if a person does the rotzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the rotzon of his Yetzer Hara, then he's an eved to his Yetzer Hara. That's really what happens. If the Yetzer Hara, and that's what we'll see soon, we'll speak about ben chorin mishayisim b'toyra. If the Yetzer Hara says, I want you to do an avera, and you said, yes, I'll do the avera. So Yetzer Hara has got you. You're an eved to the Yetzer Hara. Look over there. Look, there's somebody walking over there. Oh, who's that woman? Right? He got you. Go eat that. Oh, okay, fine. Yeah? He's got you. The Yetzer has you in his grasp. He does with you as he pleases. So if you listen to what the Yetzer wants from you, you become the Evet Yetzer. Masha'in came, if you do the Rotzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he becomes a Ben Chorim from his Yetzer Hara, and he's an Evet HaKadosh Baruch Hu instead. You can choose. It's interesting. So that means we are going to be Avodim no matter what. Either you be an Evet to your Yetzer, or you be an Evet to your Yetzer. That's the two Lashonis he uses here. Evet LeYetzer and Evet LeYetzer. You can either do the wrong thing, be an Evet to the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara got you to do whatever he wants to. Or you listen to the Rosh Hashanah, you do the right thing, then you're Eved HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're Moshel on your Yetzirah. And every Eved has something that shows he's an Eved. Avadim used to wear special things that show there was a certain article of clothing, or chain, or whatever it was, that would say, I'm an Eved. We didn't walk around like you and I did as free people. So, what do you have? The tzitzis is the chosam. The tzitzis is the sign for us as human beings that we are avodim to the Rabbi Nishalim. That's our sign. Huh? Tzitzis, you'll be allowed to wear shatnas as well. Separate discussion, Moshe. We'll get to that later. Okay? So, the tzitzis is that, you know, this is the tzitzis, is the chosam of Kodesh Baruch Hu. And he brings Gemara Menachos. He says the Oynish of Lavan is greater than the Oynish of Techelis. There's a Melech that said to two Avadim. One said to him, "Bring me this signet ring made out of mortar." And he said to the other one, "Bring me the signet made out of Zohar." And we see which one's worse. Who did the great Aver? The one who brought the Zohar, or what? You know, who did it wrong? And he says that Ein Lecha Ben Chayin Oisim Torah Mitzvah is what we said before. That the Ben Chayin from the Yetzirah, somebody keeps the Mitzvah, is the Ben Chayin. And therefore he says that this is the Middah of Tzitzis. Through this Tzitzis you show your Avodim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Klai Yisrael is made that they're Avodim HaShem. And that connects the Tzitzis back to Mitzrayim, where we got out of being Avodim to Paran. Lastly, Mishkalos. He says Mishkalos is an interesting thing. He brings an interesting medrash in Vayikra. The medrash in Vayikra says, the pasuk says, Adam ki yakriv mikem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if Paray had asked from me money or jewels or gold for each one of the Jews, no problem. I would have paid it. The Hashem said, I would have paid it. Right? So the Gemara said, faster, say, fate to ask, okay, so fine. Well, why? Why are you giving it to Paray? After you, after he had to let them out, once Paray let them out, only literally connected his will. So why would Kodesh Baruch Hu give him money for the fact that he let them out? So he says, no, Paray wanted to do bad to Bnei Yisrael so that they shouldn't be royal Geula, and to bring down their weight and their numbers, that they shouldn't be worth anything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him nothing, and he took that biyad chazaka. But if Paray had not done that to them, if Paray hadn't dragged Klal Yisrael down into Mem Tashari Tuma, and not tried to turn them into worthless, bringing their value and their weight down from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have been happy to sort of pay off Paroi, rather than punish Paroi and get the Yidden out like that. So he says, that's the third thing that we see over here. That's why Yitzis Mitzrayim is connected to Mishkolis. Because we wanted to bring down the weight, the value of Klai Yisrael in the eyes of Paroi, and therefore, that's why that's connected. Now this piece goes on for much, much longer, but we've run out of time, so we're going to stop over here. And wish you all a very, very good Shabbos. The Torah that we learned should be Leila Nishmas, Harav Reb Shimon Shen Chaim, Menachman Michal Nachmani. You should have the Neshama Shabbat Lichting Gan Eden. And the person who sponsored tonight, Shilu Mishmoy, the Ilim Shem, should be Zoichet Zer Shai Kayama very soon. Shabbos.